This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's Tuesday afternoon, so Brian Wheeler joins us from Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. Talk a little growth, talk a little development, talk a little sick cold. Have y'all been sick at your house?
No.
My daughter brought home the nastiest cold, like, early last week. And she was sick all last week, you know, and you're holding her and she's coughing and crying and sneezing. And you're just, your heart goes out to them, but you're also thinking in the back of your mind, when am I going to get sick? And you look at your calendar and you're like, oh gosh, I can't get sick.
My kids are a little older, so I think that makes a difference.
Yeah.
Sean Tubbs, who works at my office, Sean has two young kids at home, and he came in and he's like, Brian, I'm sick. You know, is it going around your house? And I was like, no. So I think he's in the same boat as you.
There's like a bad cold going around, and then there's like this stomach, vomity, diarrhea-y thing going around too. They're both going around.
That's related to the economic situation.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's bad, Brian. And you know what? I'm one of those people willing to say, I think it's worse than it is, than we're even thinking. I think it's worse because we haven't even seen the end of it yet.
You know, I was listening to your last segment, which was good.
Well, thank you very much.
But, you know, somebody told me yesterday, Brian, you better check your 401ks. And I said, you know, I really just don't want to know.
I don't want to see it.
But then it was bugging me. So last night I had to look and it was not good.
Yeah. You know, of course
it's not
good.
Big drop yesterday. But it'll go back up. I'll just, you know, I'm not ready to retire, so.
Yes, we're very fortunate.
Can only go up.
I mean, my heart goes out to the people who are living on their retirement now. I mean, that's the people who are really, really in trouble, besides the people who are losing their jobs, of course. But, I mean, retirees who are living off of what they put away and watching that, you know, it's a sad thing.
We should get a little sports out of the way before we get started, though.
A little sports?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seville Weekly last year, about this time, I remember Kathy Harding calling me and saying, Brian...
Kathy, you know, the editor, of course.
Kathy, the editor of Seville Weekly. And she said, we're looking for guests to predict this upcoming football game or basketball game. I don't know what it was. A sport that I don't follow, obviously. Yeah. And I said, Kathy, I'm really not the right person. You know, I'd be like throwing darts at the wall here. And I said, but when you're ready to do field hockey, you know, let me know. Because
you follow field hockey.
We have great
teams. You have
teams.
A star so, child who's so one of the best in Virginia.
Well, no, she's not actually. Thank you. But she's not playing this year. But Western Albemarle does have a good team. So
she's playing lacrosse?
Yeah, she's
okay, I'm sorry.
She's focused on lacrosse right
yeah.
now. But Western did very well last year. So but anyway, field hockey, UVA is who I was thinking of. And in the Seville Weekly, they're like, you know, there's a headline today, tired of football, you know, try watching field hockey. And I remember the other day when we were talking about the football team. And I said, well, you know, UVA has a lot of other things to offer.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think somebody
they may not have a great football team, despite what they spend on a coach, but yeah, you know, they still have some other great number one teams out there.
Sick of football? Try field hockey. The field hockey team's has been ranked number 8. They're 6-1, and they play over at the turf field. It's free. There's no line, and you can just walk up and watch a good game.
There you go. And that's women.
That's women.
Right.
Field hockey. Anyway.
And they're one of the best in the nation. And they don't even charge to go watch.
At least for the last game I saw advertised, they didn't charge.
What's the object of that thing? I've never even...
Scoring goals.
Yeah, I know, but I've never even seen a field hockey game. What do? They bend over and hurt their backs the whole time, don't they? And their knees.
You're hitting balls. The ball has to stay pretty low to the ground.
Is it a ball, like a hard ball, like a lacrosse ball?
It's a very hard ball. Bigger than a lacrosse ball.
It is.
It's more like a soft ball, but really hard.
If that hits you in the head, it's probably
a... It's a problem, yeah.
Yeah.
But see, now at the college level, they don't tend to get the ball up high because they're playing on perfect fields like turf at UVA.
So high school, it tends to elevate...
High school, you have a little bit of problem because of the caliber of the players and the quality of the grass.
So it could hit a little tuft.
Yeah.
And then tuft, as they say, and elevate.
Abby has been in the ER twice after field hockey games.
Get out. Are you serious?
Yeah, injuries up around her eye.
From a ball hitting her in the head?
From the ball hitting her in the head.
Now tell me, you're standing in the ER with Jean, and you're looking at your daughter with a bloody face, and you think, maybe this isn't the sport for you.
Well, actually, we said, maybe you should be wearing goggles. And so Abby started wearing goggles, which they don't require, but you can wear them.
Sounds smart.
Yep, I think you know, a little bit of concern that it blocks your peripheral vision.
I didn't know that was a deadly game, field hockey.
Can be deadly.
Wow. But UVA, one of the best in the nation.
One of the best. So anyway, that's my little sports moment. I don't know if that'll rise to the best seat in the house part of the show. So that's why I bring it up now.
It is, right now, it's all football all the time.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
So count on me.
See UVA lose, get their butts kicked on Saturday?
I heard that, yes.
What in the world? I don't understand. And I'm not even a big, huge fan. I don't even follow it. But I stop in every once in a while and say, how's UVA doing? Oh, my God. It's awful.
Yeah. Well, I'd love to play back the tapes from last week when they were complaining about, you know, the line on the game was so far off.
Yeah.
You know, it was
like 12 points
or something.
Remember Michael said 12?
Yeah.
That the line was 12?
We need Michael back in.
And what was the final score? Like 80 to 2 or
45,
something?
45-10, something like that.
Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable.
All right. Jay James is starting to look at us funny, so we had to.
Yeah. Let's talk a little growth and development with Brian Wheeler. And where should we begin?
Well, I want to follow up on the city council retreat a little more. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, they went to Stanton, had a sort of secret meeting, but it wasn't secret.
No, it wasn't secret.
You were there.
I was there.
They all gave you the evil eye before they started.
They were looking at me kind of funny.
Brian, what are you doing here?
But I was there. As Civil Weekly, Will Goldsmith wrote an article about it today, which is good. And I would commend people to reading that. But it reminded me of something else that I did not talk about. And it has to do with this phenomenon of public meetings and being an elected official and how that sort of changes your conversations. So I wanted to reflect on that a little bit because Holly Edwards was one of the city councilors that said at the retreat, I find it a little, it's awkward being on council now. I can't talk to you folks the way I used to be able to. Now, if three of us are together talking about something, it has to be an advertised public meeting. And so she was just saying, you know, that
she's an elected official.
And she was saying that makes it hard, you know, to get to know each other and team building and do things like that that would help them do their work as a team on city council. And it's interesting because I hear that from people that get elected for the first time, they come into a public body. And at least around here in Charlottesville and Albemarle, the culture is very open with government, which is a good thing. But it's a shock when they realize that they can't gather in threes anymore. You know, they can't be in a restaurant, three city councilors, three supervisors, three members of the planning commission talking about public business. If they are, then that is a public meeting.
That's a law.
And it would have had to have been advertised.
Yeah.
If it's not advertised, then it's an illegal public meeting.
So they can't just get together at one of somebody's house for a barbecue.
They could, as long as they're not discussing public business. So when I covered the retreat, I was there for their meeting portion, but I did not follow them to dinner.
Right.
But my assumption is that they're going to play by the rules, and at dinner, they will not talk about public business. And I assume they didn't. But it's a strange dynamic that the public probably doesn't think about too much, but the elected officials have to think very carefully about it.
I could see if you're in that seat where that would be frustrating.
It is. And then all of a sudden, every email that you send or receive on public business becomes a public document.
Yeah.
And people don't always realize that. If you email a public official about public business, that email, whether you intended it to or not,
can be FOIA'd.
Is a public record.
Yeah. It's a public document.
And I'm not trying to discourage that. I just want to make people aware.
Just be aware of it, yeah. You remember a few years ago when Kevin Lynch was on council and he wanted to have a little chit-chat by email with everybody and there was some concern over that because they weren't used to doing that. It was email was still sort of new.
Well, and the risk there is if you get into sort of a chat mode where it's almost real time back and forth, if you're sending out an email to the whole city council and then somebody hits reply and then somebody else hits reply, you're basically creating a virtual public meeting by doing that. So I think, you know, some bodies, unfortunately, in my book, in other parts of Virginia, decide we're just not going to do email, period.
Yeah.
So they don't even advertise addresses. I think it's very good that in this locality, all of our elected and appointed officials advertise their email address. But the people on the receiving end or sending end of those messages have to be careful to in how they use it and how they store it, because they need to keep track of it in case anybody ever does ask for it. And then they need to make sure that they're not replying too quickly to create a virtual public meeting.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Before we go to a break, why don't you give us an update about the Regional Transit Authority? Remind us what it is and what they're doing. And this is the group that could potentially down the road create a regional tax to fund transportation stuff. Could.
They're leaning towards a 1% sales tax that they would add to the current sales tax that would raise some money for transit and maybe some other transportation-related projects.
They got to get permission from Richmond first.
They do. Right? As always, it's a Dillon Rule state, and what that means is you as a local government can't do it unless Richmond has said that's okay. And right now, it's not okay. So to get permission for a transit authority and then to get permission to levy a special tax, those are the two things they need.
Yeah.
So the city and county have decided for the past couple of years to work together on this. And they're now gearing up for the 2009 General Assembly session, and they need to be able to hand over a draft bill, legislation, that local delegates or senators could move forward in the assembly. So those discussions are continuing. There's a work group that's coming together. And an interesting thing that's happened is that the staff support for this work is coming from the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. They're now saying, guys, you're asking us to work so much on this, we need a little more money. So both the city and county have agreed to allocate $7,000 or $10,000, depends who you ask. But city council last night agreed on $7,000 to help this be studied the rest of the year. So city council talked about it last night. Councilors Talaferro and Brown voiced their support for a future sales tax.
So what is this? What does this mean? When might it happen, and what would it mean?
So you're trying to say get to the point, Brian, which is
I'm just trying to
true.
Think. Somebody driving down the road listening, thinking there's another. Okay, they're going to raise taxes. Well, when would they do that, and what are they going to spend it on?
In the words of city council, as I said last week, they want to revolutionize public transit in this community. So it would mean taking the buses currently run by Charlottesville Transit and having them be run by a new organization, a new transportation authority that would then expand the access to buses into the county.
So more routes and more buses.
More routes, more buses, maybe different kinds of vehicles like bus rapid transit up and down 29 North, which would be faster, more efficient, more predictable, and just making it more of a likely choice for people that ordinarily take their cars. So the city and county think they can do better working together. They can get permission to set up an authority. They can then get new funding sources. That's the key. They can't expand this unless they get help in the funding picture. And right now, the University of Virginia is watching. They're at the table, but they're sitting on the sidelines because they've got a bus fleet they're happy with. They've got great ridership in the university, but they feel like if they get involved in this, they're worried that they will not be able to use their buses for certain charter purposes. So when people charter them for games or special events,
right.
They're afraid that if they get tied into some organization that gets federal funding, that they won't be able to do what they do today.
Yeah, legitimate concern because they rely on those buses for a lot of things.
But, you know, other parts of the country work this out. Chapel Hill has a combined university regional transit system. So it's worth discussing, and they're certainly keeping an eye on that.
So when would we get a tax if there was a tax for this kind of thing?
Oh, not for quite a while.
So it'd be a few years.
Next session is 2009. So early in 2009 would be when they'd get the authority, and this probably wouldn't be invoked until 2010.
Does there have to be a referendum, or can Richmond just say to the Charlottesville and Albemarle, you can do this, and they just raise taxes, or does there have to be a referendum to approve it locally?
I'm not sure there has to be a referendum, but certain elected officials here in our community want there to be a referendum. So Ken Boyd is one of the voices saying that he's opposed to a new tax, like a sales tax. But if there is going to be one, then at least let's have the voters vote on that.
Yeah. We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seevilletomorrow.org. And now let us turn to Albemarle Place, the shopping center that we thought was, well, it sort of went to sleep for a while, didn't it?
They moved some dirt around. This is at the Hydraulic and 29 intersection and wraps around Sperry Marine, the Grumman Defense Facility.
This is the biggest thing we've seen in a long time. This is bigger than that Target shopping center, right? That one up near Forest Lakes. This is the biggest.
It's the size of two downtown malls. Remember me saying that?
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
I mean, this is huge.
It's big. I mean, it's not big like Biscuit Run big as far as number of homes or acres.
Yeah, but it's huge. But it's big like Barracks Road big.
It's on a compact footprint, they're trying to pack in a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, so there's going to be some real tall buildings in there.
That was proposed, and I checked with Albemarle County staff today, and that was one part of the plan that they never fully finished reviewing, and then things sort of went quiet, as you said. One of the reasons things settled down, besides the market, was the fact that they didn't have sewer capacity to immediately start building buildings and hooking them up.
What we call potty potential.
They did not have potty throughput, whatever.
Throughput.
And
what was the problem? They didn't have enough.
The pipe they would connect to was not big enough. So there's an existing pipe called the Meadow Creek Interceptor, which goes to Moores Creek, which is where we treat our waste. And the pipe was not big enough to handle all the new users that would be at Albemarle Place. So they had to wait, and they're still waiting. And what we learned last week in a joint meeting between the Board of Supervisors and the Albemarle County Service Authority is that the Service Authority is actively meeting with the new front people on this project, a company called Edens and Avant.
So whoever was doing it before sold it, basically.
Yep, and I talked to Frank Cox today. Frank Cox was one of the people who was involved in the original Albemarle Place, and he's out of it now and said, we'd have to – and I've put in a call to this other company. They haven't called back yet, but I want to get the details on who is involved and what they're thinking about.
Yeah.
You mentioned the tall buildings, and that may be one of the things they want to revisit. But that was a feature of the original Albemarle Place rezoning and preliminary site plan, but it never finished going through the Architectural Review Board because it raised a lot of concerns in the community. The buildings were higher than the maximums allowed in the rezoning, so they'd have to get some special consideration.
So arguably, with a new developer now, this is back to square one.
Well, I don't know enough to say yet, and I need to see the plans they've resubmitted. I can tell you that yesterday they were in front of the Architectural Review Board, so they are actively restarting this project. They've got things in front of the county now that we're going to go take a look at. It's my understanding from county staff that they're going to ask to change some of the proffers. The proffers are those things that the previous developer promised they would do or pay for or implement. And in exchange for the rezoning, this rezoning dates back to 2003. And keep in mind that, Coy, unlike some of the new developments we've talked about, Biscuit Run, Hollymead Town Center, those things have what are called escalator clauses. So proffers, if you promise to pay, let's just say $10,000 per home that you're going to build, over time, if you don't build it, over time, with a certain inflation rate, that amount you promised will increase.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're a municipality because, somebody could build it 10 years down the road and then that money that they proffered 10 years before, it's not going to get you anything.
It doesn't go as far.
Yeah.
Albemarle Place was done before we had those things. So
its escalator clauses.
Its proffers were pre-escalator clause. Its proffers don't address sewer. Whereas Hollymead Town Center and Biscuit Run, when they came forward, people were smart enough to say, hey, what about the sewer capacity? Because we learned some lessons here on Albemarle Place.
Yeah, definitely.
And the Service Authority inked an agreement with those developers. And basically it says at a certain size of your development, you're going to have to pay your fair share for the upgrades we're going to have to build. You're going to have to cover your cost for that.
Instead of passing off all of this infrastructure improvements onto
all the other users.
To all of us, the taxpayers, so that you can build your shopping center.
And it's some taxpayers. Let's be clear. It's those that currently get public water and sewer. So the other taxpayers are not really paying
for it. If you're on a well,
it.
You wouldn't necessarily get charged.
Right. So that's what's been going on with Albemarle Place. Again, Frank Cox said that he is out of it now. Edens and Avant are the new firm that's involved.
So that deal for the proffers was with Frank Cox and his development team, not with this new developer.
But they carry. So when whoever acquired the property acquired all the promises. And now what I'm hearing is they want to revisit some of those proffers. I'm not sure
who does, the developer?
The developer. I'm not sure why or which ones. That'll be part of the next phase of this story.
Yeah.
And then they also want to submit a new plan for the development.
I'm sure they have a new design.
So we'll be looking at all those things. We'll keep you posted.
So Frank Cox didn't want to put in the money to put in the new pipes, the new sewers.
Well, I couldn't say why he's out of it.
Yeah.
He didn't share those
So
details.
This same thing happened with that development up behind 84 Lumber at Airport Road as well, right? the county approves these developments.
Oh, North Point, right.
Yeah. The county approves the developments and says, yeah, go ahead and build it. And the developer gets up there and says, wait a minute, you don't have sewer capacity. I can't build it.
In both cases, the record apparently shows, I know it does for North Point, Don Wagner is a ironically, he's connected to North Point, but he's also on the Albemarle County Service Authority Board where he's chairman. So Don Wagner, when they met last week and they were talking with the Board of Supervisors, he pointed out that when the first concern came up about Albemarle Place, he said he immediately started digging through his files to figure out if anyone had raised a red flag. And he said he was happy to find, you know, the smoking gun in his files. And he called it a yellow flag. It wasn't really a red flag. You're going to have to stop everything you're doing. But the concern was raised during the course of Albemarle Place's rezoning, according to Don Wagner. So he said, you know, at least he knew he wasn't going to get sued over this.
Yeah.
So that was done with Albemarle Place. Certainly with North Point, it was pointed out as that was being approved that there would have to be more capacity. The trick up there is the Camelot wastewater treatment plant, it can't expand any further. It's going to be band-aided to accept a little more septic from Wendell Woods' commercial office development and from NGIC, the Ground Intelligence Center. But to get North Point going, you're right. They've got to build more capacity. And it's going to require maybe multiple pump stations to pump that stuff out of the different, you know, you got some different geography there.
Yeah.
And they've got to pump
it. 900 homes on 300 acres, isn't it? Something like that, North Point?
That seems about right.
Yeah.
I don't have that in front of me. And but yeah, it's a lot of houses, and it's a big mixed-use commercial development, much like what we're seeing at Hollymead Town Center. So imagine all that same sort of commercial development, but with all those houses to go with it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that it is a challenge. And last night, this was featured at the city council meeting, and you had folks like former Councilor Kevin Lynch coming forward and saying, hey, we shouldn't in the city be paying for this. If this is to help Albemarle Place, why are we helping? He said he made the argument that the pipe is just fine as it is. So why do we need to supersize it to help Albemarle Place?
Yeah. Why should city taxpayers pay to make that pipe bigger when that money, that tax, that's in the county, right? It's just over the county line.
Just in the county line, yep.
So that's not, none of those tax monies from that Albemarle Place would go into city coffers.
He raised that question, and that's an ongoing discussion. Gary O'Connell said that there were they were actively, you know, negotiating and discussing what the cost-sharing arrangement is going to be. This is all done through the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority, which is in charge of those interceptors.
Yeah.
So the big pipes, the RWSA handles the little pipes and connecting up at the project level or the house level. That's done by either the municipality, city of Charlottesville, or the Albemarle County Service Authority.
Would it make sense, Brian? We're talking about Brian Wheeler. Would it make sense for a member of the Board of Supervisors at some point before this is approved to do their due diligence and ask these questions and say, you know what, before we approve this new development, do we have the sewers in place to support it?
Well, and that's my point. They did do that with Biscuit Run. They did do it with the recent rezonings at Hollymead Town
Center. So
they've
learned to do it.
That's right.
Because of what they didn't do with Albemarle Place.
You betcha. You betcha. That's on their checklist now. But what they get is a piece of paper that says, yeah, we've talked about it, and the developer agrees in principle to pay for this. But it still has to be paid for. It's still, there may be a certain threshold, you know, after you build X number of homes. But they're worried about where they set that threshold. Let's say you set it at 75%. Once the development's 75% built out, that's what trips the capacity, no longer can handle it, so then we need to upgrade. Well, there's concern that the developer will just decide, oh, well, I'll just stop at 75%, not fully build out my development because it's going to cost too much.
And then you're basically at the very limit of your infrastructure, and the developer walks away.
And you haven't taken full use of the growth area as the comprehensive plan in the county intended. So there's some concerns about that. And I think they're refining it with each major development that comes through and trying to find the right way to do this. I can tell you, though, that the Albemarle County Service Authority and the RWSA are meeting with lots of developers up and down the 29 North Corridor between Albemarle Place and North Point, and they are trying to figure out, how are we going to pay for all this stuff? And the developers are coming to the table and saying, well, we know we're going to have to help. So even those that weren't involved in contracts that require it are saying, yeah, we understand we have to pay our fair share.
Yeah. And for folks who may have missed previous discussions about Albemarle Place, apartments, you know, high-rise apartment buildings, new movie, big new movie theater. Whole Foods is not going to be there anymore. They're going to be over by Gold's Gym. Right?
That's right. Whole Foods was the first tenant that signed up for Albemarle Place and then the first one to leave because the sewer capacity was just going to hold them back too long. So they moved across the street into the city. But yeah, the original plans for Albemarle Place included hotel, movie theater, restaurant, 4 to 5 structured parking garages, 700 to 800 units of apartments.
It's like our own little Tyson's Corner.
Again, about the size of 2 downtown malls. And, you know, I'm interested in all national security things. So it was interesting when the discussion came up about Sperry Marine, because they were concerned about, you know, this was, you know, several years ago, and people were on heightened alert, you know, much more so than we are now. But they're still, you know, they're very cautious about these things. And the idea of having a, you know, huge high-rise development built around them and people looking down in on Sperry Marine, they were not too keen on that. And at one point, they were requesting basically barriers, you know, I think they called them tank traps, you know, to prevent, you know, somebody from just driving in from this development into Sperry Marine for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Trying to protect themselves. So they're going to build a moat or something around.
Well, Sperry Marine's going to go from basically surrounded by woods, literally, to being surrounded by like a Tyson's Corner.
Right.
Wow. Amazing. But with the economy the way it is, this isn't going to happen anytime soon.
Well, yeah, we'll see.
North Point, Biscuit Run, Albemarle Place, it's all going to be in the works for a while till the economy gets...
And another important lesson learned, I think, in Albemarle County is to change that proffer system. So they learned that with that place, projects like Albemarle Place, they've now got proffers that don't have an escalator clause. And you know, the per unit proffers for Albemarle Place are like $3,000.
Now,
there's some other money in there for transportation.
Which is dirt cheap when you look at what they get around the state.
It probably adds up to $7,000-something last time I calculated it. So $7,000-something per household in Albemarle Place. It's certainly going to bring a benefit in tax dollars as well for the sales and retail. But, you know, the proffers we're getting today are based on like $17,000 per house for single family detached. For a multifamily apartment, it might be, you know, $12,000.
$17,000 still cheap compared to places like even Orange County, which was getting, what, $25,000 or $30,000 a house?
And now those proffer expectations change every year. So the new proffer policy that Albemarle County implemented, every July 1st, they have to come up with what's the new number based on inflation over the past year.
Yeah.
They haven't announced what those numbers are for this coming year, but we've asked for them.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. We've got a couple minutes left. You want to give us an update about the very latest on the South Fork Reservoir?
Well, I would just alert folks that the next meeting is Monday, September 29th, and you can certainly go to seavilletomorrow.org and look at the calendar and get the details on that. They've not scheduled when the next when and if they're going to have a big public hearing, but I know they are talking about ways to reach out to the public and collect the public's feedback. So I would tell folks who are very interested in the water supply and the reservoir stewardship issue to be on the lookout for that survey. I expect the county staff are going to help the task force come up with a survey, 3 or 4 questions they can ask the public. Hey, what do you think we should be doing with this reservoir?
And so people will get a chance to weigh in on the work of that task force.
They certainly will.
And tell us, too, about the budget shortfalls before we get about 30 seconds.
The county last week, as you probably saw in the various news venues, announced they're projecting a $4.1 million shortfall in the current fiscal year. So we're 2 months into the current fiscal year, already projecting a $4.1 million shortfall.
Which will likely go up.
The city is projecting $1.78 million, so almost $2 million. Both of these localities are making those projections before they know what Governor Kane is going to do. So this is just at the local level. Local property taxes, local sales taxes, local revenues are down. And so the governor now is facing $1 to $2 billion at the state level.
Man.
And he's going to pass off some of those costs to local government and
yes,
to schools.
Yes, he is.
and so the county is bracing itself and the city as well to figure out what's going to come next.
More on that later. Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Coy.
Y'all have a great night. CBS News, local news and weather, best seat in the house.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.